Welcome to the Ultimate Athlete Podcast, where we help you fix injuries, get flexible, and build a bulletproof athletic body for life. In today's episode, I'm speaking with Dean Pullman, the CEO and founder of Manflow Yoga. Manflow Yoga is a website that's dedicated to providing programs and workouts for the male body without any spiritual fluff. Dean has been featured in several big-name magazines like Men's Health, Muscle and Fitness, New York Magazine, and more. And he has over 758 highly positive reviews on Trustpilot. Now, Dean's story is really interesting because he stumbled upon yoga by pure accident. But as you'll hear in this interview, it eventually changed his life, and it is now changing the lives of over 200,000 of his students who are reading his books, taking his courses, and doing his programs online. So if you want to learn about what is Manflow Yoga and how it's different from traditional yoga, stay tuned for this fascinating interview with Dean Pullman. So I am here with Dean from Manflow Yoga, and I wanted to jump right in with the questions. And I wanted to ask you, Dean, because you and I actually share a bit of a similar backstory where we both were kind of in the athletic realm and then moved into kind of the yoga, flexibility, healing, physical therapy kind of realm where we help people not so much with getting buff and strong by lifting weights is what I used to do, but now starting to help people with more yoga, flexibility, rehabbing injuries. And of course, still the fitness aspect is a major part of what you do. So I'd be curious just to hear your backstory of how you started out as, I think, a lacrosse athlete, and then how did you stumble upon becoming a yoga teacher?
Sure. Well, I will say that I'm still very much still interested in the strength components of fitness. I encourage almost everyone that I work with. I encourage everyone to incorporate strength training and to incorporate weightlifting into what they're doing. I want to be as strong as I can be without it diminishing my quality of life. So I want to be, you know, and I want that for other people. I want them to be able to do resistance training because it's going to help them live longer. It's going to help them be more confident in just the way that they move their bodies, you know, the way that they look in the mirror. But I also want them to make sure that they're doing mobility work so that they also feel good, you know, in addition to, you know, building muscle. But my kind of background is I was a lacrosse player in college. I did a lot of strength training then. I did a lot of, you know, sports specific training and conditioning, lots of sprints, lots of jumps, lots of weightlifting. Lacrosse is a fairly physical sport. You know, we get to hit each other with sticks. There's checking. There's a lot of hitting involved, which is fun, but it also has a lot of soft tissue injuries that are similar to what you would experience in soccer and football. Maybe, you know, there's a lot of knee problems. There's a lot of ankle sprains, some shoulder stuff. And when I was playing, I wasn't, you know, I was doing a lot of the traditional workouts, a lot of strength training. And I think I started going to physical therapy on and off at the age of 14. Things just started popping up. First, it was my knees. Then I did something to my shoulder, but I was, you know, I was going to physical therapy. I was doing all these workouts and it just, I was, you know, I had a kind of a totally different understanding of how your joints worked back then. I remember getting surgery when I was 16, on my knee. It was a meniscus repair, I think. I don't know the specifics. But, you know, I was 16, got knee surgery. And my assumption back then was, okay, so I got knee surgery. Now my knee's better and I can just go play again. You know, I didn't look at the whole of my body. I looked at the knee as the issue. The knee is what needs to be fixed. And that was kind of my understanding. And it wasn't really until, and I continued to have injuries through high school, through college. I missed almost the last half of my season when I was a senior in college because I had an ankle injury, which was a result of the knee injury, go figure. You know, I had all these injuries and it wasn't until I started doing yoga and started learning more about my body and learning about the relationship between the ankles, the knees, the hips, the core, and everything that I realized, oh, there are a lot of imbalances here that I've been just, you know, hoping don't hold me back too much over the, you know, my years as an athlete. I started doing yoga on complete accident. I walked into a yoga studio. I was looking for the tailor. I walked into this yoga studio instead. And I was like, oh, I was going to go work out. Why don't I just try yoga instead? And I looked around and, you know, it's people who are, they don't look like athletes. They're just average looking people. And of course, at this time I was, you know, I was 21. So of course I was, they said like, oh, you get to take your shirt off. I'm like, yeah, shirt off. So that was, you know, that was another selling point. So I go in and, you know, I'm standing there, it's so hot, I'm about to fall asleep. And then they start the class and we go through the first 10 minutes and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm dying. I'm like, I'm sweating profusely and there's no end in sight. And then we make it to the halfway point of the class and they're like, okay, we're halfway through. I'm like, you're joking, right? This is halfway. And that was still to this day, that's the hardest workout I've ever done because it was just so mentally demanding. It was so much different from what all my other workouts had been. Instead of working on strength, we were still working on strength, right? It's a different type of strength, but you're just holding it there for, you know, a minute per pose. And it's really hot and you're sweating and you're trying to remember to breathe. And they're telling you to go deeper and deeper into the pose. So you haven't figured it out yet. My first yoga class was a Bikram yoga class, if that sounds familiar. What really kept me coming back was there were just so many movements and so many poses in that workout that were totally different from what I was used to. And I was working muscles I didn't know I had. And it just intuitively, I knew that if this is so difficult for me, then there must be a lot to gain here. There must be a lot of weaknesses that I can exploit here to get stronger. So that's what kept me coming back. And I did yoga probably for the first year. I mean, and then afterwards for many years afterwards, because it became what I do. But for the first year, I was doing 6 or 7 yoga classes a week. Eventually I branched out and started doing non-Bikram yoga classes. I started doing more vinyasa classes, started learning other poses, started learning down dog and repetitive up dogs and down dogs and stepping through to a warrior pose. And then it was great because I was doing things differently from what I was used to. I was working on my flexibility. I noticed it carrying over into my other workouts, feeling stronger, feeling better about my breathing. But there were some parts of the yoga workout that I was like, this is just not me. One part was the poses didn't last long enough. So especially in vinyasa classes, right? The poses last for one breath and then you move on to the next pose. And they're like, okay, let's go here now. I'm like, I just got here. Hold on. Give me some time to open up. I'm really inflexible compared to everybody in here. I was still lifting weights and still playing lacrosse. So it was really tight. And I needed way more time to actually open up and figure out, wait, let me check in with my technique here. What's my knee supposed to be doing? And very often the dialogue wouldn't be related to technique. It was about, I want you to forgive somebody in your life right now. I'm like, hey, that's nice. What should my knee be doing? And so the second part, which I didn't, you know, just wasn't my cup of tea, was the spiritual aspects, kind of the new age life coaching aspects of yoga. And if that's what you like, that's great. That's fine. I hope you continue to do yoga that way. But just for me as an athlete, my background with fitness is this is an exercise. This is workout. We're going to push ourselves. We're going to focus on our body. We're here because we have, you know, a purpose. So that's my background with exercise. And that wasn't the same that I experienced in yoga. And then number three, the obvious difference was, I was a guy. I was less flexible. I was way less flexible. You know, you asked me to do something and then you ask the woman next to me to do something and we would look totally different, you know? So there wasn't enough attention to people who were inflexible or new or wanted to learn technique. So basically, I eventually created a type of yoga that addressed all of those things that I was looking for. Poses that worked better for men who were less flexible, who were new to yoga. Proper technique, so we know which muscles are using. What are the benefits of the poses? Like, why are we actually doing these? And then big point number three, no spiritual stuff. No confusing language, no airy, off in the clouds instruction while we're doing a workout. It was very much yoga the way that I wanted to learn it. And, you know, it's kind of funny because I thought that initially I would be reaching a bunch of guys like me with, you know, with what I was doing. And then I found out, you know, pretty quickly, this was mostly guys who were in their 40s, 50s, 60s, guys for who traditional workouts weren't going to work because they were, you know, they had been sitting at a chair in a desk for 30 years and their bodies just, they weren't ready for that. So more and more, I found that the people who were doing the type of yoga that I was offering were people who were, who needed to build, you know, a basic level of flexibility, a basic level of body control in order to get them to the point where they could be pain-free. They were having chronic back pain. They had, you know, they had it for years, or they were spending, you know, hours and hours a day sitting at a desk, not moving. And so that's kind of how Manvola Yoga developed. That's kind of, that's the brief story before the all of what it is now. But yeah, so I started Manful Yoga back in 2013 as a YouTube channel, and it's been slowly figuring out what it looks like and pushing it out from there.
That's awesome. That's super cool. I can relate a lot to your initial experiences of yoga because I also came from an athletic background, did my first yoga classes, and on the good side, noticed like, wow, it's exposing a lot of my weaknesses. I'm realizing that I was immobile in parts of my hips that I didn't realize because I was never going to those end ranges in my typical weightlifting and athletic training. But I also, on the other side, I remember doing a spinal twist in one of my first yoga classes and the teacher explaining to us that these spinal twists help to cleanse our chakras. And that was going to like progress our spiritual development. And like my skepticism kind of like radar just like started going off. And
yeah.
Kind of turned me off onto that aspect of yoga. So I wish Manflow Yoga would have been, or I wish I would have found you back when I first started my yoga journey back in around 2011, 2012, I think it was. But it's great that you're helping so many men now. And you already touched a little bit about what makes yoga for men different and how does Manflow Yoga teach yoga different? Mm-hmm. You know, men have different bodies than women. And not only that, but there's more advanced men, maybe like yourself, who already have a base of athleticism and a regular movement habit, and they're pretty good starting point. But then there's these other group of beginner men who really need just some really foundational stuff. And I know that you've got like books on the topic, a book about yoga for athletes, a book about yoga for beginners, all focused on men. And so I'd love if you would dive in a little bit deeper into what makes Manflow Yoga different from typical yoga.
Sure. So just really quickly, Yoga for Athletes, that's my most recent book that came out in December of 2021. And that is more of a gender neutral book. But the previous book, Yoga Fitness for Men, definitely, you know, a yoga for men book. And so, you know, kind of touching about what you were talking about, you know, there are a lot of different guys, there are a lot of different fitness levels coming into yoga. Some of them are people who, you know, have not really been successful with fitness in the past. So they don't have a consistent habit of working out. You know, maybe they've just gotten to the point where, okay, enough is enough. I'm sick of having chronic pain every day. Or, you know, doctor told me that I could do yoga and that would help me. So we've got people who are like that. But we also have people who are more experienced with working out, people who are, you know, who are self-motivated, who, you know, have been running for a while, they've been weight training for a while, they've been going to the gym. Common trend with them is that they're not in their 20s anymore. And they're finally realizing, oh, I need to do mobility work. I need to actually stretch and do some restorative stuff if I want to keep working out. Or they've gotten to the point where weights are too strenuous and they're looking at body weight exercise as an alternative. You know, what I do with Manful Yoga is great because it's build muscle, but it's also no impact on the joints. So what's, you know, something that I try to do, this is getting more specific, but something that I try to do with Manful Yoga is make a differentiation between intensity and skill level, you know, because you could have a workout that's advanced, but it takes a lot of skill and it's lower in intensity. Conversely, you could have a workout that's very beginner, but it's really intense, but it doesn't require much skill. So that's something that I try to account for. I make a lot of filters in my workouts so that like we can really separate things based on, you know, what part of your body are you going to rework? What's the intensity of this workout? What's the skill level? What aspects of fitness are we working on? But more broadly speaking, you know, when it comes to men and yoga, there are a few primary differences. Number one is just men are less flexible. You know, it's 2022. I know it's unpopular potentially to make broad statements about change, about differences between gender, but most men are less flexible than women. You know, if you have your average woman, you have your average man stand side by side and have them do yoga poses to the best of their extent, they're both new. Chances are the woman is going to be way more flexible in the hips, going to open up a lot easier. Shoulders are going to be less tight. The woman is also going to rely more on her hips and her core, whereas the man is going to be a lot tighter in the hips, a lot tighter in the shoulders, and they're going to be relying more on their upper body. So those are just, you know, those are just biological differences. And most guys who start yoga, they're inflexible. So they go to a yoga class, you know, they do their best to follow along, because at that point they're not learning. They're just like looking. They're like, oh, I'm just going to like mirror whatever that person is doing over there. There's not like a whole lot of actual learning technique. So they're just doing the best they can to mirror. And a common experience is they leave feeling like, oh, wow, that was really hard. I couldn't do any of the poses. I didn't know what I was supposed to be feeling. You know, I think that one person in front of me was judging me because I looked at her funny during like when I was trying to do one of the poses. So there's just a lot of there's a lot of discomfort when it comes to guys in yoga studios for a lot of reasons. And so I just tried to build that into Manful Yoga to address what those, you know, those common issues were. So, you know, creating poses, but, you know, modifying poses, choosing exercises that a guy of typical flexibility could do. That also meant accounting for differences in how men and women's bodies worked. You know, men and women, because of those different propensities to use lower body and core versus upper body, men will make different mistakes than women do in yoga. So, you know, one great example is in a boat pose. If you don't know what a boat pose is, go to youtube.com/manfulyoga, search boat pose, and you'll find what that is. But it's a really great exercise for your core. But because men and women are so different, you can have a woman who is new to yoga do this beautiful boat pose with no effort. But if you have a guy do a boat pose, there's most likely, even if he's an expert, he's not going to be able to do a beautiful boat pose. He's going to have to modify it somehow. There's those differences to account for. And then also, I found that this isn't, you know, this definitely isn't true for all men, but there are many men and many women too, who are doing yoga because they want it to be a workout. So they don't want the spiritual aspects. You know, in our society, men typically do not emote in public as much. So it might be uncomfortable for a guy to be in a yoga class and be asked to be vulnerable or to do these things. Or, you know, there's also lots of yoga classes where you'll go where they'll mention modifications depending on where you are in your monthly cycle, which, you know, doesn't apply to men. There are things like that. But basically, I just tried to make Manful Yoga into a type of yoga that a guy who, if he saw or had a bad experience or, you know, tried another yoga and it didn't work, this is trying to make it so it's, you know, that appropriate yoga for him, his flexibility, his yoga experience, his desire for proper technique to get a good workout and to focus on the workout, not have it be another type of experience.
Yeah, that's great. I'm curious, how much of a role do you think, you already kind of mentioned it, that like stiff men, especially beginners, often need more time in a pose to really let things release. They're not going to release much in a 30-second stretch or pose. Besides just holding stretches longer, and you can say more about that if you want, is there anything else like, say, self-myofascial release or some tissue work prior to the stretching that is helpful for these extra stiff people?
Yeah, actually, I just put out a video on this, but you know, foam rolling is awesome for that. I actually do have a self myofascial release series as well, where we go through you know, how to use foam rollers, how to use lacrosse balls and other mobility tools on specific parts of your body. But yeah, you know, we do get a lot of people who have been doing yoga for years and they don't see results. They're not really noticing improvements in their flexibility because they might not be holding the pose long enough. Maybe they're doing it. A lot of people stretch in a way where they're just going to their end range immediately. And then they're just like suffering through it. They're not actually finding a mid range and then breathing into it. And then, you know, able to increase your flexibility using your breathing. So sometimes there's misunderstandings around on that. But another factor is a lot of people just do passive stretching. And that's great for a short-term benefit. But to really increase your flexibility, you need to combine that with strength. There needs to be an element of strength to it. There needs to be some sort of, you know, I like to call it muscle activation. In a lot of ways, it's just motor control or basic strength. But when you add in that element of muscle activation, of training those muscles to engage and then lengthening them while they're engaged, the results, I mean, can't quantify it, but it's much more significant. And people who have not been able to really see improvements, they've been doing stretching or yoga for years, start to see those improvements when they combine strength. But yeah, one really good way to your original point is like, if you can start with, I actually made a program for this really long time ago, but if you can start with self-myofascial release, foam rolling, ease into some longer yoga stretches, and then finish off with strength that builds upon that extended range of motion that you built, that's going to cause your flexibility to skyrocket. You know, it is kind of time. It is a bit of a time process because you've got to go through self-myofascial release. You got to go through long stretches. Then you have to go through active strength-focused holds. And then follow that up with even more, you know, long passive holds. But yeah, that is a really potent combination. And if you aren't experiencing flexibility improvements, just doing something like self-myofascial release at the beginning is going to help your muscles open up much more significantly.
Yeah, that's great. That resonates with my experience a lot. I even call the method that I use to help people that I help get flexible or fix their injuries the TSR method, which stands for tissue work, followed by stretching, followed by reactivation or muscle activation, like you said. So you release the knots, you stretch to lengthen things, and then you build the strength in those new ranges so that you can actually control it. So it's more like active flexibility or mobility. So that utterly resonates with my experience as well.
That's awesome.
I'm curious, you know, you kind of, in the very beginning of this conversation, you said something like, for the average man who wants to be not just bendy and flexible like your typical yoga female, but they want to look like a man and have some muscles and be able to pick up a refrigerator or their spouse and move stuff around, can you get all of that from yoga? Or do you think that at some point, most guys are going to need a little bit of external load? Could be kettlebells, could be dumbbells, barbells, calisthenics, some form of resistance training beyond just the yoga mat? Or do you think you can get all the strength training that you need on a yoga mat?
I'm going to give you an answer that might surprise you, but you definitely need to do stuff outside of yoga. And this is kind of a really common question that comes up with social media for me. You know, huge question. Dean, do you look like that because all you do is yoga? Well, no.
Look at his bedroom. There's the weight set right behind him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, point of all this stuff that we do aside, there is much more that I do and that I have done in the 20 years or 25 years that I've been working out. But the thing about yoga is that if you're just using your body weight and you're not using any sort of, if you're not using a bar to pull on, or you're not using a resistance band to pull on, it's very difficult to target pulling muscles. And it's very difficult to generate enough resistance to enough stress on your body, enough stress on your muscles to really provoke significant growth. So I think for a lot of people, if all you do is yoga and you incorporate some light resistance training to target the pulling muscles that you're not working on, and also throw in some non-typical yoga exercises that address some of the things that yoga poses don't get, then you can get a really nice level of physical fitness, definitely a functional level of physical fitness. And depending on how you do yoga, you can actually build a significant amount of muscle. I've had plenty of people who have done Manful Yoga talk about how much muscle they've built and talk about how much strength they've built and the progress that they've made. But if you wanted to speed that up, and if you wanted to make that more significant, then my recommendation for pretty much everybody is to combine it with strength training. The only people I would not suggest that to is if you just really hate strength training and you never want to do it, in which case, okay, go find something else. There's got to be something out there that you could do that is going to work your pulling muscles, that is going to be more fun. But yeah, if all you do is yoga, especially if all you do is traditional yoga, you're going to mess up your shoulders. More likely than not, you're going to mess up your back, your lower back, because there are so many passive forward folds in yoga. I actually very rarely do any standing forward folds whatsoever, because most people don't have the flexibility to do it. And almost everybody does it with improper technique. They do just a passive forward fold. They don't actually use their core. They don't actually treat it like a strength exercise, which it is. Long story short, you should definitely be doing stuff in addition to yoga.
Yeah, agreed. Do you, with your members who you work with in Manflow Yoga, do you provide them, well, I guess, depending on how you structure the yoga workout, it can become a cardio workout. It can become more of a strength workout. Do you teach them strength training as well with dumbbells and barbells, or do you mostly concentrate on various types of yoga sequences?
So the way that I work with people is I've designed programs. So I've got about 40 programs right now, and most of them have been designed, or all of them have been really designed with a particular person in mind. So some of them are made for desk workers. Some of them are made for people with shoulder issues who are looking to rehab shoulders. I've got one specifically for lower back pain, for chronic lower back pain. Got one for, I've got multiple ones for desk workers, but those are kind of set up as set programs with set schedules of workouts. As far as giving people tutorials on resistance training, I do have some videos, but it's not my focus. Like, I do a lot of strength training on my own. Could I teach you how to deadlift? Yes. Could I teach you how to do a great squat? Absolutely. But I try not to do that. I haven't quite gotten to the point where this is like the Amazon of fitness. You know, I don't know if I really want to do all that extra stuff. So I don't teach strength training, but what's unique about Manful Yoga is that it really does teach yoga in a different way. And it does incorporate body weight exercise and calisthenics in a way that a typical yoga class would not. So the result is that you are going to build more strength. You are going to, you know, get a different workout than you traditionally would from yoga. And because a lot of the workouts do have that movement, there is a cardio element involved. I mean, depending on your fitness level, even, you know, a more basic workout might be a cardio workout, because it's going to cause you to, cause you to breathe faster. So my answer to your question, Manful Yoga does really focus on building strength in ways that typical yoga does not, because we do incorporate non-yoga exercises. We do have a lot of body weight, we do have a lot of calisthenics. We do have some dynamic movements in our more intermediate workouts. And it does also involve a cardio element, you know, depending on your fitness level. But I will say that I actually have a lot of problems with traditional power yoga, because it just moves so fast that you don't know what you're doing. You're not using proper technique. You're not actually doing anything great for your body except sweating, because you're in a 95 degree room. You're like, I'm moving so fast. I'm sweating so much. I'm getting a great workout. I'm like, go do that in 68 degrees. You're not going to sweat at all. You're just moving. You're not actually like, there's nothing, you're not building strength here. You're moving, but like, you're not actually building strength or developing mobility. So the way that I do my cardio workouts, I start slow with a lot of muscle activation, a lot of really emphasizing proper technique and foundational, you know, movement principles. And then we can slowly speed up once we've kind of got that locked in. But, you know, as far as, you know, just starting off in a down dog and then going immediately into all these very fast, do this pose, this pose, this pose, this pose, this pose. That's, you know, to me, that's definitely not something helpful for men who are new and inflexible.
Totally. Yeah. When I was that guy, I didn't find those class. They were certainly challenging and I found myself stumbling to keep up. So it was challenging in that way, but I wasn't getting a lot more flexible nor building the kind of strength that I could build elsewhere. And so, yeah, that wasn't my favorite style either. I wanted to switch gears a little bit. You touched on it a little bit, but the importance of body and breath awareness. I don't think that's something most men are taught about almost anywhere. And if it is, it's often linked up with or connected with the woo-woo spirituality. Like we're breathing in the universal energy and it's going to purify the blah, blah, blah. For you and how you teach yoga to men, what do you stress about the importance of body awareness and breath awareness? Why is it important to men?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's definitely was my experience initially. They said, we're going to work on your breathing. I'm like, why do I need to work on my breathing? I breathe already. Like, what? And I actually had, I don't know exactly what test this was, but it was a test that kind of measured my oxygen efficiency. And so whatever this test was, I had scored in the 80s. It was 80 on like 100 scale. I had scored in the 80s. This is an oxygen level. I understand that you can't have an 80% oxygen level and function, but this is like a, you know, 100 scale test. And I had scored in the 80s because I had some slight asthma when I was younger. And I did this test when I was, I think, 20. And then a year or so later, after I had been doing yoga for 6 months, I went back, did the same test, and I scored a 109. So somehow the breathing emphasis in yoga and just being more aware of my breathing caused my breathing score to improve, whatever that test was. I don't know what it is. Don't ask me, but you can just reference it. You can say, well, I heard this one podcast where this guy improved his breathing from 80 to 109 by doing yoga for 6 months. So there you go. That's definitely a scientific citation. The way that breathing helped, I don't think I realized just how much it helped. And it was something that was definitely emphasized significantly in the yoga classes that I went, you know, when I first started going to yoga classes. And it's sometimes it's annoying because you're in a yoga class and someone's just going like, you know, right. And they're trying to make it as loud as possible. It's almost like a contest. Who can breathe as loud as they possibly can? But of course, me being, you know, the 21, 22 year old that I am, I was like, I'll breathe louder than you. So I practiced breathing really well. And slowly that starts to carry over into other aspects of your life. Yes, it definitely helps with, there's a lot of reasons that breathing helps from a physical fitness perspective. Number one, it's going to teach you about the relationship between your breath and your body and how you can use your breath to manipulate your body. You know, when you're inhaling, it helps you to get bigger. It helps you fill up your lungs. It helps you expand your rib cage. It can help you with proper alignment. It can teach you whether or not you're in proper technique, whether your spine is in an optimal position, or as Brian McKenzie or Kelly Starrett would say, they would say organizing the spine. And then as you're exhaling, you realize that, oh, exhaling allows me to either, I can contract my muscles as I'm exhaling. This is like an extra way for me to increase my muscle activation. You can also use it as a way to release tension and go deeper into the pose. And you would never learn that if you didn't take all this time to focus on breathing and devote attention to it. I will say that most yoga instructors say that breathing is more important than technique. And I disagree there. I think that technique is more important than breathing. I do not think that just breathing is going to put your body into proper technique. But if you do put your body into the proper technique first, and then you apply the breathing, I think you're gonna have a better result. So we'll say that. But anyway, so there's profound benefits that come from breathing that you can notice in yoga. You can notice them in your other workouts. I've had a few Ironman athletes work with me, and one thing they mention is just the emphasis on breathing reminds them when they're really pushing it or when they're getting really tired, it just reminds them to go back to the basics. So they have that awareness to notice, oh, I'm getting tired. let me focus on my breathing. Let me make sure that I'm keeping my body in control. Let me go back to the basics. Let me, you know, but they wouldn't have that mindfulness if not for practicing breathing. So the breathing is kind of a gateway to paying attention to your body, to mindfulness. And that's why it translates over into so many non-physical fitness areas. That's why when you have better breathing, you're better able to manage your stress. You're better able to self-regulate. You're able to recognize when you're not breathing. You might be stressed. And you're like, why am I feeling stressed? And you're all of a sudden you think, oh, it's because I'm taking these really deep, really shallow breaths. I'm not actually breathing well at all. But you would never know that unless you actually practice breathing. So it's something that I emphasize. It's something that I, you know, I deliberately do try to breathe loudly so that it goes into the microphone when I'm doing the workout. So it's kind of like this reminder. And yeah, it's something that I always remind people to do, especially as the difficulty of the workout is increasing. You know, that's when it's definitely important. That's when I try to say, hey guys, so breathing, you're going to want to speed up your breathing here. I want you to do your best to maintain slow, controlled breathing. It's a big theme. But yeah, breathing is incredibly important. And I don't think that there are too many, as far as my experience goes, there are not many types of, many disciplines of fitness that put that much attention on breathing as yoga does. So, you know, for that reason alone, yoga is very powerful.
Yeah. In my own experience, getting into meditation around the same time as I got into yoga and seeing how the influence of the breath can really change your internal state, your mind, your emotions, your psychology. That was one of the unexpected benefits that I got from my early days in yoga. Like, cause like you, when the teachers are putting so much emphasis on breathing in the early classes, I had the same thought, like, why do I need to think about breathing? It happens all on its own. What's the point in doing it more consciously or whatever? And of course, as I got more older and more mature, I realized that conscious breathing influences so many things that men care about. If you learn how to breathe better, you'll deadlift more weight. If you learn how to breathe better, you'll be more flexible when you're stretching. If you learn how to breathe better, you'll make love better. You'll be more conscious in your lovemaking. It affects so many areas. Exactly. And these are things that men care about. And so it's overlook it, you men out there listening to us. This breathing hippie yoga breathing thing actually influences all the things that you care about. So I'm glad that you touched on that. I was curious, do you also have a meditation practice in addition to your yoga practice?
I do meditate. I don't know if it's I meditate. So I meditate every night. It is kind of a combination of both thinking. It is a combination of meditation, thinking, and mental journaling that I do. And I do this every night before I go to bed. Sometimes I will also meditate in the sense that I do have a pasana, focus on just the breathing, you know, acknowledging the thoughts, saying, okay, I had a thought. I've also practiced some meditation, which is so far has been the hardest meditation I've ever done, where I sit out on my patio and I close my eyes and I am completely in the present. I only focus on the sounds that I'm hearing in the present, and I don't think about what's going on in my head at all. I'm only focused on the sounds that are going on. And that's the most difficult meditation I've done, but it was really powerful. Those are really powerful just because of how difficult it is. Meditation is important to me for stress relief, for kind of winding down, for me before I get into bed. I've already let my brain kind of like, okay, just get tired, let it all out. Okay, cool. Then by the time I get into bed, I'm not like still thinking about all those things that are, you know, that I was ruminating on before. So yeah.
Nice. Cool.
Yeah.
You know, we've been talking a little bit about the what men should be doing. You know, if you're a man and you want to fix injuries or get more flexible or build strength, you know, there's breathing, there's holding stretches longer, there's doing some foam rolling. These are going to be all helpful, just tactics that men can do. But I don't know if you have this experience, but I've noticed that we're all not lacking what to do so much. Everyone knows they should probably stretch a bit. They should do yoga. It's good for you. You should do some strength training. You should meditate. But getting yourself to do it consistently is often the biggest hurdle for people. It's like, yes, I know I should do Dean's Manflow yoga classes that I already signed up for. But then life happens, the kids, the work, the whatever. Yeah. Do you have any good tips for the men out there about how to be consistent with whatever routine they're committed to?
Yeah, there's a lot of tips. I actually have three in particular that I give to people. The first one is pretty simple, but it's plan it out in advance. You know, just make sure that you know what workout you are going to do before you do it. Easiest way to do that is the Sunday before the week starts. You sit down, you take an index card and a note card. Maybe you do this on your phone. Maybe you track it in a notebook and you just write out your plan for the week. And you just, you know, you look it over, you make sure that it's a practical plan, that you are choosing a specific time to do it, that at that time you are going to have the energy and the motivation to do it, or at least enough motivation to do it. You don't have to be excited about it, but you have to have enough motivation to actually start it. Planning out specifically what workout you're going to be doing, where you're going to do it. The more that you can plan in advance, the easier it's going to be when it comes to happen, and the more willpower you can devote to the workout itself, rather than putting that energy into the planning process. And then the second part of that is being okay with revising the plan. You don't have to follow the plan to the T. You know, life does happen. Things come up. I'm a dad. I've got a toddler. So I understand that, you know, life is going to happen and things get in the way that you didn't account for. But it is important that you revise that plan as necessary, either in, you know, day-to-day occurrences, unexpected events, or you get to the end of the week, you reassess and you look back, you're like, you know what? This isn't really working for me. Let me figure out what went wrong. Let me try it again. Let me experiment with something else. You know, so that's one of the most important things that you can do. The other thing that's big is to really figure out what your motivation is. And this is a process that basically involves you asking yourself seven times. Well, you ask yourself, why am I doing this? And then you keep asking yourself why. And usually it takes seven times. Maybe it takes five times. But you keep asking yourself and peeling back the layers until you get to the real reason why this thing is important. You know, I ask people like, why are you working out? And they're like, well, I want to lose weight. Like, okay, why do you want to lose weight? Well, I want to be healthier. Like, why do you want to be healthier? Well, I want to, you know, I'm scared of dying early. And I'm like, oh shit. Well, now we finally found like a real reason for you to be motivated instead of you having this, you know, this kind of potentially vain excuse of, I just want to lose some weight. Now we, you know, we understand that it's rooted in this fear that you might die early. You know, maybe you had family who weren't healthy. They didn't take care of themselves. Maybe something like that. So figuring out your motivation and then being able to access that motivation is really helpful. And then the third tip I'll give, because there are probably millions of tips, but it is to create an environment where you are, where the desired behavior is easily done or easily facilitated. So have things set out ahead of time. Arrange wherever you work out, arrange it so that there aren't other distractions in the way. You know, for me, it could mean putting an office, putting a workout space in your gym. You know, that's what I did. Because now it's like, right here. Like, I don't have to go drive anywhere. I just do that. It could mean rolling out your yoga mat ahead of time so that you walk in, your yoga mat's there. You could even put your tablet there and like open it up to the, you know, I do a lot of things to help facilitate that. We have emails that go out with our programs. So every day you get an email, it says, here's your workout. Click, open it up, do it. You know, so you don't have to open it up yourself and navigate to it. You just open it up. You can integrate it with your smart calendar. So that's another thing we do. You can add it to your smart calendar. You can print it out on a piece of paper so that you know what you're supposed to do ahead of time. But the more conducive your environment is to doing your desired behavior, working out, less distractions, more things that remind you of the importance of working out. So you can actually put things in your space that make you motivated to work out. You know, that could be picture, that could be like a Spartan helmet, you know, something that just makes you feel like a badass. So, and then also minimizing the friction of exercising. So making less work for yourself, you know, figuring out what takes some time for me to do this or what takes some energy for me to make this workout happen. And if you can do that ahead of time, or you can do something to make it automated, then that's also really helpful.
That's super great. You said three of the things that I've experienced as the most helpful and important things that have helped me be consistent with my fitness, which is, you know, you said have like a journal or something to write down your specific plan, where you're going to do it, and time to reflect and think about, okay, it didn't go so good last week. Why? Let's actually like be a little bit critical thinking about this and create a new plan for next week. So it's like plan your work your plan. And then also I love the seven whys. I've in my mind used what I was calling the five whys, which is the exact same process. Like ask yourself five times, why is this important to me? Well, why is that important to me? And why is that important to me? And it helps get to those deeper reasons, the deeper reasons for you to do something or for you to stop doing something. And then the last thing that you mentioned about like kind of creating your environment to take away all the friction from doing your routine, putting out, having your yoga mat already out, your tools already out, everything already available. And there's something I write about in one of my eBooks. I say, don't overestimate the, like the barrier to entry of a room that's not ready to be used. It's like, if I have to like even take the 30 seconds to unroll the yoga mat and take it out and organize the tools and get them out, that can be enough to like stop you on a few days from actually doing your routine. So I thought that was all very, very brilliant. We're kind of coming up on the last couple of minutes of the call. I wanted to just acknowledge you, first of all, for creating something that I wish I had as a man when I first started yoga. Like it's a missing in the world. There's not that many places where you can go for well-taught non-spiritual yoga where, you know, the teachers aren't going to be talking about all kinds of woo-woo stuff that you may, that doesn't resonate with you. It might really resonate with other people, but it didn't resonate with me when I first started. And I know it doesn't resonate with a lot of men. And just looking through the materials and the resources that you have available, the books, the courses, the programs, the workouts, got a really well-rounded curriculum for men. So it's just beautiful that you're making that available for men. And I acknowledge you for that. And I want you to maybe let us know where we can find out more about you. Where can people find you on the internets?
Well, thank you. First off. And I mean, I've seen your programs and it's really cool to see what you're doing as well. You know, cool to see that you've been able to do that for yourself and then also be able to share that. So, you know, props to you as well. The best place is my app and members area. And that's where I put all my programs, all my workouts, 7-day free trial at manfulyoga.com/join. And I also do want to mention, I have a lot of really cool features on there that, again, we try to make it as easy as possible for you to be consistent. Email accountability series, those daily emails to make sure you do your workout. We have a really supportive community. We have a lot of smart features that make it easy for you to do your workout or find what you're looking for. You know, we've done so much work trying to make it as easy as possible for you to do your workout. So I hope you can, you know, I hope you get a chance to try it out and find a program for you. Give it a shot. But then we also do, YouTube is primarily where I do my, you know, put shorter routines and do our, you know, our video marketing. So, that's where you'll find a lot of free routines in the 10 to 15 minute range. We just passed 300,000 subscribers on YouTube a few weeks ago. So that's a popular place to go do free workouts. And I also have a couple of books that I've put out. Yoga Fitness for Men is a really popular book, still doing very well, released in 2017. And then Yoga for Athletes was just released last year. We actually got Kelly Starrett and Brian McKenzie to participate in that book, as well as Nick Baer and Francesca Martinez. So that was a really cool book to work on. And that's an awesome book for athletes if you're looking to learn how to complement yoga with your running or your weight training. So, and I'm also on TikTok. Still trying. I know.
I just got on there too.
I'm just following the trends and making my weird interpretations and then sharing them and hoping that someone looks at it. So yeah, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube.
Nice. And you have a new podcast out, which
I do.
Really, it's very interesting to me because in your Manflow yoga, it's heavily sort of non-woo-woo spirituality oriented, but you told me before this call that the focus of your podcast is on the deeper questions. It's not just how to get more fit, how to get more flexible. It's got a different theme, right?
It's taking a more comprehensive look at wellness. It's understanding that, yes, physical fitness is important, but you can't work out, you can't outwork out your emotional issues or your mental blocks or beliefs that aren't serving you. So it's really, I try to have conversations with guys who have gone through some, you know, some significant stuff, significant changes. And I try to understand what are processes that they use to work through their own personal issues, or how do they work through trauma and come out better for it. So it really is an examination into wellness as a whole, and kind of getting outside this idea that all we need to do is eat well, work out, and sleep, and getting into, well, we also need to be vulnerable with each other. We need to have relationships. We need to acknowledge our emotions instead of putting them in a bottle and trying to breathe through it, which is something that I did for a while with yoga. Ironically, I'm glad I started lifting weights again because I have an outlet for all of that repressed rage. But yoga was, anyways. So yeah, it's different from Manful Yoga. I see it as complementary, but I think people are really enjoying the non-fitness aspects of it. And we've had some really cool guests on there. So
that's awesome. Well, there you go. There's a smorgasbord of amazing resources for all of you guys out there. Dean, thank you so much for being on the podcast, and I hope to talk to you again soon.
Yeah. Thanks for having me, Shane.